Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all doing?
Just fine. This is Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you doing?
Oh, just great. Yeah, thanks.
Wow. So how's everything going for you on this?
Well, I didn't get started. I'm still listening.
You're still listening. Okay.
Yeah, I'm still listening. I enjoy listening, so I just didn't get started yet.
So, do you have some questions on what you've heard?
Well, no, I'd just like to listen to more information.
Okay. Well, we'll try and give it to you.
Okay.
All righty.
This is Clay.
Come on with us.
Clay, California.
Way?
This is Lee.
Okay. And I heard somebody else at the same time.
This is Lee.
Lee, good morning, Lee.
Good morning. How are you?
A little short on sleep, but other than that, I'm doing just fine. I violated that principle.
And you're in Arizona?
Yes. Oh, dear. Okay, somebody else just joined us, too.
Denise Brown from Tacoma.
I didn't catch that. Sorry.
Oh, Carolyn from Tacoma.
Carolyn, okay, thank you.
Hi, Shar. It's Betty in Pittsburgh.
Betty, good morning, Betty. How are you doing?
Wonderfully well, thank you.
Okay, it was so nice putting a face with the name.
Absolutely, I love that too.
And I think I heard somebody else too.
Yes.
Hi, Shar. From St. Louis.
Okay, I heard St. Louis and I didn't get the name.
Denise.
Denise. Good morning. I think I heard you talking yesterday, right?
Yesterday or the day before. I can't keep track of my days.
Okay, one of those. All right.
And this is Molly Chong from Dayton, Ohio.
Molly, good hearing your voice, too. Now, I got an email that your emails are not getting through to Mary Lou.
Oh, really?
I mean, Mary Lou's are not getting through to you. I said it backwards. Sorry.
Well, I do have Mary Lou's email.
Okay. Well, email her and tell her, make sure that she's got the right email, because she said they were bouncing back.
Oh. Okay.
So either it could be a filter on your server that is causing that to do that also. So I'm not sure.
My volume is nowhere to be full, so it's not the volume, the space availability. Okay,
that could be. Okay, so anybody else on the call with us that would like to say hi?
This is Linda Brown from Vancouver.
Well, good morning, Linda. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. Anybody that we missed?
This is Dottie from Massachusetts.
Good morning, Dottie.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
How was the trip? Was it well?
It's been eventful the last few days, very eventful a couple of days ago, but we're doing just great.
Are you back in Oregon?
No, we're in Phoenix. We've still got a few more stops to make.
You're still coming through the 29th of May? I still got that day open.
The 29th. What day is that on? Sacramento Day.
That's what Danny told me. I think it's the Thursday.
As far as I know, I'll have to have Danny double check. Since we had a slight delay in one area, so we'll double check it here and I'll let you know.
Yeah, that or Iraq is fine.
Or what?
Or earlier, I'm leaving the 31st, so...
You're leaving the 31st, okay. He's looking right now as we're doing this, so... Okay, anybody have any questions or thoughts that may have a really short time frame this morning that they need answers to right away before we even do an intro? Just want to make sure you get your important things covered that you're questioning or something that you want to contribute really first.
I just want to clarify the email from Mary Lou Shard. Really good to hear you back and that you're in Phoenix. Apparently there was a problem with MSN, not with Mary Lou's emails. That's why they were bouncing back, plus Hotmail. The only one that she's still missing, at least as of a couple of days ago, was whoever cliffmay@q.com is. Have no idea who that is, but that's the one that's bouncing back. cliffmay@q.com.
Okay. I don't know who that is, so if anybody else knows, maybe they can get a hold of that person if they're not on the line.
Yeah, the others were either Hotmail or MSN. Apparently there was a problem with the company, not with the individuals.
Oh, okay, good to know that. Okay, thank you, then, because I was going to try and get a hold of a couple of the other people. So.
Yeah, no, don't waste your time. I think it's cleared up.
Okay, good.
Come on.
Pardon?
The last
one. Okay, you're really breaking up on my end. I'm not sure whether it's...
Is she on?
Molly on?
Yeah, Molly's on.
I know.
Yes, she is.
My Lana Crane, there's a lady that I invited on yesterday. I don't know if she's on that call, but...
Oh, Milana. Okay, I thought you were saying Molly.
Okay,
I didn't hear a response. Okay, the reason for this call is a book that was written by Dr. Colin Campbell called The China Study, and in that book it states the information that came from the result of 880 million people being studied as to their response on their diet. And from that, they discovered connections with the difference between a plant-based diet and an animal-based diet. So we got very interested in those results as they were reported, and further results worldwide, and then brought back and studies done for years and years here in this country. And so with that, it shows that the definite connection with the diet and the contributing factors not only to cancer, but the autoimmune diseases, heart disease, diabetes, all of those. So basically all of the major diseases that are causing deaths in this country, the eventual deaths, if not earlier. So anyway, we're just here to learn together and experience all areas of it related to the food, as well as understanding how this really connects to our business with NECAN. The products that we've been given are the latest technologies that the company can find and research, and we have the advantage of having created with those technologies a much healthier body, a more alkaline body. And so we want to do something about the rest of it that we can take a greater responsibility for, and that's how we feed our body internally in addition to the supplementation that we're given by NECAN. So anyway, that's where we are, and we've been at this a little over a year, and we're very excited about the results. And I am more excited now than I was when I started, because we've seen the evidence of what's taken place. So anybody have anything to contribute right off this morning?
This is Way. I got the privilege on Saturday to be invited. Can you hear me through okay?
Yes, you're coming through great right now, Way.
Anyway, on Saturday I got invited to a Relay for Life, which is one of the large events association. But anyway, it's sad that
you're breaking up at this time, Way.
Okay, how's this?
That's better.
Is it better?
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I was invited by, there's a meditation group that I was invited through there to share on nutrition and prevention. So I managed to speak quite a few people, and one thing I observed was, it's so sad, is like we are still, I mean, the 99% of these cancer patients there is like, let's find a cure, but not one person will mention, oh yeah, you know, why don't we start taking action on prevention or moving more towards
prevention. So next year when I do my planning things, I will have more heads up to do what to do to get more message across there that that one thing that I was not, you know, noticing of the majority of the people in this country is like, let's stop everything else and, you know, and find a cure, but not searching already for the prevention and do anything to stop it right now. So it's just a thought I was brought forward that we need to get more attention out there of, as we're talking with people. We do have the cure, but pretty much, you know, we're talking about prevention versus everyone else is focused on just curing and medication and all that kind of aspect. Just a thought that came up. So,
you know, that is an incredibly important thought, because I'm just thinking how we could advertise. We see a cure correlation between what is happening not only with cancer but all the other diseases, but, you know, pig cancer, say that one, state that one first, and just put the test out there, you know. There has been a test that people are unaware of, a study that has been unaware of and suppressed from the public that involves 880 million people, and that gives you the results that we need to go after to prevent and cure, because we've seen the turnaround in people's bodies when they do that. I mean, they're on the rave DVD. They're all over the place when you start realizing that people are living this way after having cancer and been, you know, long-term survivors, not just past that five-year mark where if they die on the, you know, sixth day or the first day after the 5 years, they're still considered a cure. No, that's not what we're talking about. So it's, you know, the only people it can fall on are the people that already know about it. It can't fall on the ignorant people that don't have that information. So I guess, you know, who does that say it's up to?
Along those lines, I wasn't going to bring this up until next week, but we had an article in our paper that my son gave me, because we don't get the newspaper every day, and the title is The Health Obsession. Maybe we've watched too many prescription drug commercials. And I read this article finally yesterday, and it blew me away. One of the sections is, where did they get the numbers? And I'm not going to read the whole article. The author wrote a book, Overtreated, Why Too Much Medicine is Making Us Sicker and Poorer. She says in here something about, oh, striking fear also serves pharmaceutical companies, which want you to worry about diseases, because people who worry are more likely to go to their doctor and ask for drugs than people who don't. It turns out much of what we and our doctors think we know about health problems and has been shaped by the drug makers and their marketers. Take condition branding, one of the most brilliant and widely used marketing techniques for selling drugs. Conditioning branders use information about medical conditions to forge links between disease and treatment in the minds of both patients and doctors. If they have a drug but no condition, they simply invent a disease. And then it goes on to talk about osteo. Do you know that osteoporosis, there was no way of measuring it until the 90s? Before the 90s, doctors decided that you had osteoporosis if you were elderly and you broke a bone. When the pharmaceutical company Merck came up with the anti-bone loss drug Fosamax, it wanted broader markets than just elderly fracture patients. The solution? The company helped fund a panel of medical experts to create diagnostic criteria for osteo so that the diagnosis could be made before the patient actually broke a bone. And is this bizarre?
Wow.
You didn't know
it was exactly what I was given at the McDougall seminar. He walked it very carefully through each step.
Uh-huh.
He says, let me tell you how these diseases are created, the market for them. And he says, when they can identify and make a piece of equipment to help diagnosis, then here's the steps that have to go along with that to get the patients to need to be diagnosed, whether they have it or don't have it. They need to come in for testing, and then we're going to do something that is going to give an indicator that you do need to have these drugs.
Right. And they talk about pre-diabetes, pre-high blood pressure, pre. And here's a drug that will help you not have pre. It was such an eye-opening article.
And what was the name of the book that this was quoted from?
The author's name is Shannon Brownlee, B-R-O-W-N-L-E-E. The name of the book is Overtreated, Why Too Much Medicine is Making Us Sicker and Poorer.
Making us sicker and poorer.
Yeah. You think it's worth reading?
I'd say so.
Do you spell her last name again?
B-R-O-W-N, like the color brown, L-E-E, all one word.
Brownlee, okay. Thank you, Nancy. It's so good hearing it put in different ways, in different perspectives. Okay, now let's look at what we can do, and especially for people that may be a little bit newer, let's identify some of the things that are really, really simple to do. Let's see, I wrote one down that I did just out of the refrigerator, and one of the things I suggest you always have is something with for your staple, various choices for your starch, what I'm trying to say, so that you could have rice. Nancy, I used your idea with the refrigerated, already baked potatoes, or they could be boiled. They don't have to be baked. They can be fixed many different ways. And I was putting together a salad, and we were traveling, and I had little time to put it together. It was while Denny stopped for gas, which wasn't to fill up, wasn't very long. And so I grabbed the greens that were already washed, that were in a green bag in the refrigerator. I pulled them out. I chopped them. I grabbed out two or three other things. I had carrots. I had I think I had a little bit of onion. It doesn't really matter what kind, but it gives it a little bit more flavor. I had some broccoli I threw in on top, and as I'm chopping these, I'm just putting them into our individual bowls, and then I was going to put some rice that had been cooked with onion and lentil on top, brown rice that had been steamed, and I had a pretty good-sized container of that, and I was just going to put a large scoop of that on each serving, but then I saw the one small potato that was left. And I had jicama in there also, so I chopped up the potato, diced it fairly fine, peel and all, and scattered that on there. And then, it was diced the same size as the jicama, so you really couldn't tell by looking at them. They were both white. Didn't make any difference. I had a couple of radishes I threw in, and then I put a scoop of the potato or the rice with lentils and onion that had been steamed together in our cookware on top of that. And then I looked and I thought, maybe a little bit of moisture. So I grabbed one of the dressings. I could have used the Siaga balsamic combination just as easily, which what we're using is 3 tablespoons of Siaga with 1 tablespoon of balsamic. And then if you want to thin it down a little bit further, you can use like a tablespoon or a little more of just the pine egg water in with it. Just shake that up, and it makes a wonderful dressing. In fact, it's one of our favorites. But I hadn't pulled that. I had picked up a dressing that looked interesting in New York, and it was a curry dressing. And it was very clean as far as the ingredients were concerned. And it was zero or extremely low, I can't remember which, fat. So next to nothing in there. And I dripped not more than a tablespoon of that over the top of it. And it was just enough to give it flavor. And we ate that and were totally satisfied. Now, that is something that is whatever you've got in the refrigerator, but make sure you've got a lot of your greens and your vegetables that contribute much higher to our nutrition. And the ones I said do a good job of doing that. And then also make sure you've got your starch in there. Now, it could be potatoes, it could be rice, it could be some corn, it could be all of those together. It could be pasta on top of it. It was all cold, and it tasted wonderful. So the easier the better, the quicker sometimes the better. And so it's just open the refrigerator and making sure that you've got some of your, not only your vegetables, but your starch. So somebody tell me another one that they have done that has really been easy that they've just pulled out of the refrigerator for a meal.
I just want to say I just had an aha moment because Marty will not eat a potato that's been cooked and he won't eat it cold. When we eat potato salad, our potatoes.
Yes.
Just realize that.
They're gooped up with stuff sometimes that we don't really need or want. And
cold.
See, I was amazed that when I threw it in with the salad and I told Denny afterwards, I had the same exact thought as I was throwing in there because it reminded me of how I had diced a potato for potato salad. And I said, you know, we've eaten potato salad all our life. Why do I think that a cold potato is so unusual? You know, it's not at all. It's all in our mind and how we've previously come about using it. So
he always tells me, you know, nobody on your call wants to eat cold ones either. Well, guess what? When we eat potato salad, we eat it cold. Duh. I just realized that.
Yes, very, very good analogy. It's just, you know, what little area we've been introduced to that comes. Oh, and I also threw sprouts on. I had lentil sprouts, and I had some of the adzuki beans or azuki beans threw on top. So, you know, I met the criteria for 7-plus veggies in the salad for sure. And we did the same thing here. Jeannie and I combined what we had and just pulled out of the refrigerator. And I think you were ready to put some of the soup on top of it. She made a wonderful tomato. It had some tomato and lima bean soup. You know, and you don't think about cold lima beans either. But, you know, it was just another bean on top. And used a little bit of the broth as the dressing just to add a little bit of moisture. So, it's so much easier cooking this way until we got to the Asian market and found it a little complicated way. We were into deciphering what everything was, and we came home with so many samples, and I found some of those packets that have the mung bean. We haven't even tried them yet. That has the mung bean and rice flour. And I even found a recipe on the internet, so we're ready to investigate a little further. But
right.
they had it layered. The only thing I didn't find exactly on when I Googled it was the way they had layered this. It's like I would call it a mung bean paste that they've made. It was a cake.
Yeah, that's another way. But anyway, so I have a guest on. Her name is Lalana Crane, and she's another downline, across downline, but had some health challenges, and I thought we can go briefly over the 10 things that we started with the China study with her. Are you still there, Lalana?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
The 10 points, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, we'll briefly go over what we are doing, why she missed the purpose of this. And so just give her an overview of what we're doing, how we get started so quickly. We've got 10 minutes left, so I thought it would be good too.
That's fine. Okay, that's great. And people can add in points individually that they remember as to why they're doing the China study just very quickly. But basically, it started with a study that was done in China in the 70s to find the premier of China wanted to find a cure or a prevention, a reason why so many of his citizens were developing cancer. He was dying of cancer at the time, and he wanted to know what the common denominator was. And so he mandated a study that was done with 880 million people, the largest nutritional study ever done, looking at the causes of the most 12 most common forms of cancer. And with that, what he discovered was all diet-related. Very, very small genetic direction from it, and it was like 2-3%. And we also have the ability to direct that even when there is a genetic predisposition for cancer and which again is extremely rare. So with that, Colin Campbell, when he came about the information through another associate researcher, they set up another study that was done on several thousand people, over 6,000 people back in China, and it only validated exactly what had been previously studied and found, except they were much, much stricter guidelines for the studies than what had even been done on the 880 million. So then he went looking for research to back it up all over the world, things that were not brought to the public's eye, but had been actual studies that were done, and they knew that the correlation was still there, then came back to the United States and restudied it all over again just on local territory. So that's what got us started on this whole thing. Now, there are so many books being written, we can't even keep up with it, talking about just exactly, coming from all different directions, just like the, and you may have heard the overview of the book that was just given away, the health obsession, was the title of the article Nancy was talking about, Overtreated, Why Too Much Medicine is Making Us Sicker and Poorer, the title of the book. So it is becoming public. We are seeing all kinds of articles alluding to the fact that we need to eat more vegetables, fruit, and whole grains, and to create the body, the condition in our body that will prevent this from happening instead of the processed. And the easiest way, the things that we just don't want to have are the animal products, any form, if it has a face or a mother, we don't want to be using it. If it's refined, we don't want to be using it. That's the acronym for the acronym RAVE, no refined, no animal products, no vegetable oils, and no exceptions, but add in exercise also. So it is not, you know, for me it was not difficult. Once I had the mindset, it was all between the ears. All I had to do was look at the guideline and say, that where does it fall? Is it within what we're supposed to be doing, or is it outside of what we're supposed to be doing? And probably the slowest part was still relying on some of the processed food. And as you clean more and more out of the diet, one example is cholesterol. Cholesterol comes from animals. Our body makes what's needed, but the high cholesterol that is a measuring factor for contributing to disease, or the condition of the body that will set itself up for disease, cholesterol is not a disease. It's an indicator that you're headed there in that direction as a result of what's going on in your body. So someone else, a thought.
This is Molly Chong. Nancy one time told me on the call, told me about reading or listening to Rafe CD or DVD, and I got that, but I have not had time to delve into it until the trip from Cleveland. I went to Cleveland to hear Dr. Bodak. She was there for 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday. And so on my way back, I put on that it was a DVD. I put it on my portable DVD and listening on the way home. I was so shocked, especially in the end, how the animals were raised. We were essentially eating the animals with AIDS, with Alzheimer's, with all kinds of diseases. And whatever the animal diseases they had, and we eat that, and we get that also. So it was given the example, like the birds flu that scare us all over the world. Well, that was a disease of the birds, and people ate that and got that disease. So nothing else of that part, how disease the animal get into human body and we got sick, that is enough to scare us.
You are so right, Molly, and thank you, because as I have traveled just these last few weeks and talked with numerous people, the simplest connector, the fastest connector, has been for them to see and understand an overview is that two-hour DVD entitled The Rave, or it's called, entitled Eating, and it's in the book, included in the book called The Rave Diet and Lifestyle. And if I could recommend one piece that would bring people's awareness up faster, just because of the time it takes to read the China study, it would be that DVD. And you can go to the Rave website, which I think is just rave.com, isn't it?
Rave Diet.
Pardon? Oh, ravediet.com. Thank you for the correction. R-A-V-E Diet, D-I-E-T, .com. And when you go through that, I have yet to have had a person go through it and say, oh, well, you know, that's interesting, or I think that there's too many people exaggerating. I've never had anybody say that. Never. So if you've got somebody you care about, all I can suggest is you get a stack of those DVDs, and I'm ordering some more of them and having them shipped to the house, because when it's important for you to share the information, you know, you can put a commitment on it. I need this back. I want to recycle the few that I've got. And so as soon as you've gone through it, please call me and let me get receive this back so I can send it on to the next person, because I feel it's that important to your life and the people that you touch also.
Yeah, I started to loan it out also, and people say, well, when we get older, we cannot so carelessly of whatever assume vegetarian diet was bad. They think they could not. With that DVD, there is no argument about how bad it's animal food.
I agree thoroughly, and you know, the only comment that you might make in whatever words come to you at the time is that, you know, I don't want to risk the fact of contracting or developing a disease because of what I put in my body, and then trying to rely on whether my body can overthrow what I've created that is negative.
Yeah.
Or correct what I have caused that is negative. That's like knowing that you have a really great chance of making it if you do this, being healthy, or taking the other path, knowing that you might not have nearly as great a chance of living longer if you take this other path. That, to me, is once educated, that's stupidity. But we do have to get their attention enough. And, you know, what I've been telling people was, even after a year of eating cautiously this way and dropping my cholesterol, and I'm just going to use the total number, from 187 to 159, going and learning more and doing more in this direction, in 10 days, it dropped 29 points. And so how can you refute the fact that what goes in our body creates cholesterol and is there? The stuff was not going in there. So that's all I can say. I was being more careful about all of it, plus the exercise. So there's not a magic bullet. The magic bullet is what we put in our body, if anything, and how we can treat our system. That's the magic bullet that we should be looking for and relying on to not develop these diseases, or if they're already there, to reverse them. And I had a couple of conditions that were reversed.
Yeah, indeed, examples of doctors who did refuse to have a cardiac bypass. They went on their own trip of looking for alternatives, and they Some of them believe it was the diet that they went for, and instead of dying from that bypass, they now lead in groups of the patients that needed to have bypass on the vegetarian diet.
Exactly. Exactly. They have become very strong mouthpieces to spread the word, and that is their goal, is to educate the public so we do not see what we see when we walk through the stores and in public places, realizing that people are hurting. They are hurting. They would not be in scooters if they were not hurting. They would be traveling on their own and getting the exercise that their body needs. I mean, just, and then you think of all the millions that you pass by, or hundreds and thousands that you pass by on a regular basis that you don't even have a clue what they're dealing with. It doesn't show. Maybe sometimes it shows by the size of the person, knowing that the tendencies for diabetes are much greater, but we still don't really know the numbers. And then there's so many people that even look healthy or healthier than others. That are still dealing with the conditions that we don't know.
From listening to this Rafe DVD, I very much parallel that information about we should race to share the information, as same as in developing people's faith around us, we should race to deliver the message for people around us to develop the faith. So it's a very much a race to
say. Hi, Mom, it's time to go.
So you're saying we should race to help people understand the information.
Yeah, that's how I felt after I listened to the race.
That's very good, because I came up with another number going back through the China study to get information very quickly to a cousin of mine that is dealing with her mother-in-law and her father develop problems, serious problems, and she is the caregiver for them. And so trying to get information, because she was going out to get a grill to do meat on, and when she said that and then told me that my aunt had been put on 5 more medications, I said, total overload. And her daughter, who is having major health challenges, just an animal protein diet, and when she said to me, I said, you know, she took a pause, a halfway pause, and I said, I don't know how to share this, because it's going to sound like I'm overloading you with trying to give you more things to think about and have to do right now when you're already on overload, but I can't ignore what you've just said. I said, I realized when my mother was aging and had had a stroke, she got to the point where all she wanted was what sounded and tasted good, and it was processed sugary food. She wanted a piece of pie or a piece of cake for dinner instead of any whole food. And had I known then, I would never have given in to her demands, because it's my responsibility. She raised me to be healthy and chose for me what should go in my body when I was very young and could not make the decision. She was coming from a space where she was impaired and could not make a good decision. It's not about what they want. It's about what they need. When do we have to turn around and give care that was given to us before we could make appropriate decisions? And when you've got people that are not in a condition to make appropriate decisions, somebody needs to take charge and make those decisions for them until they can arrive back at a state of health where they can make them on their own. And I've said that for younger mothers making decisions for children, but it comes a reversal with older age. There's points where you have to step in and make those decisions too, or they're never going to have the opportunity again to have that level of help based on what they're doing to their bodies. And I'm so in agreement, and I was so amazed and surprised at the response I got. So I was on a race to get through the China study again. Mm-hmm. And when I got in there and started listening to the audio before I sent it out, I wanted to make sure that, you know, every bit was there and that I understood it again, and it was a fast way of doing it. I heard things I had never, that had never clicked with me. One was there is so much emphasis, and yes, we should be aware of what took place on 9/11. But do you guys all realize there are more people that die of just heart attacks in every 24-hour period in this country than was killed about by that entire event that there has been so much money spent on and so much publicity given to it, and keeping that memory alive? And what we need to be working on is keeping humans alive from a health standpoint as well. And I'm not saying don't honor what took place on 9/11 and do everything to prevent it, but we could prevent so many more deaths by spreading the word about people taking responsibility for their own health. If we don't buy this junk that's in the store, eventually it will not be made.
Yeah.
They have to survive on us buying the foods that are literally killing us and making it so that we are out of balance and addicted to them. They are addictive. Also picked up the book, Excitotoxins, and written by Dr. Russell Baylock, B-A-Y-L-O-C-K. Now, that isn't nearly as fast or easy to read for me as was the China study, because once I got into the China study, it would be like turning the DVD off on the eating DVD. I was compelled to continue on and get the full total picture to my ability. So, guys, I've talked way too long. Way over time. Another 10 minutes over time. So, last minute question.
May I
Very
ask
quick comment.
Yes. A question. What is the this is Leilana. What is the name of the DVD?
It's called Eating. E-A-T-I-N-G.
Is this the Rave one?
It's the Rave one. It's in the Rave book when you order the Rave book. And when you get compelled, I'll also encourage you to order to get a greater discount just on the DVD. Many people will throw that DVD into their player and play it without ever cracking a book. And all we have to do is tactfully get their attention enough to look at it.
Is there any way that I could talk to you personally?
You certainly can. Let's see. The number is 602. What's the rest of it, Jane? 404-2677.
Okay.
And that's where I'll be just shortly. I've got limited time, but I'll go over any high points that you need.
Thank you.
You're certainly welcome. Anybody else?
Yes. To say another thing about what I got out of that. On Atkins diet, it talk about Atkins diet. After a meal on steak, there was a showing in the tube of blood, a dark steak. How can you, Dr. Agin, have people eat such a diet to create dark and thick blood after a meal? So that's I think that's the last thing I want to say about it. That's the Atkins diet.
Thank you. Thank you. That is very true. There's ways of seeing all of those things that's taking place in our body by what we're putting in there. And the visualizations are incredible. Okay, guys, I think we need to sign off and have a... I'm sorry, somebody trying to ask?
Yeah. Shaw, this is Dottie.
Yes.
Yeah, can I just ask two questions?
Yes, go ahead.
It's going to be either, you'll tell me quick. What's the difference between dark flaxseed and light flaxseed?
You know, I asked my naturopath that, and he said,
I really don't know that. Oh, there's one that's a little higher in protein. I can't remember which. It's trivial. It's not. I don't think it's all that important. Google it and see what you get, and tell us tomorrow for an answer.
Okay.
And or Monday. I'm sorry. No, Monday or Tuesday.
What about Satan? S-E-I-T-A-N. I just got the new Vegetarian Times magazine, which is awesome. It tells you there's a lot of things on here that about summer recipes, also vegan ice cream. did you get it?
Yeah, I haven't gotten it yet. I'm sure it's just available, but obviously it is. But anyway, seitan is made from wheat. It was what the Seventh-day Adventists use a tremendous amount of that. It's a wheat-based protein source where the tofu is a soybean-based, or tempeh is a soy-based protein. We do not have to worry about the amount of protein, but it adds another substance in there that would equate to the starch in a little bit different way, because they're putting the emphasis on the protein instead of just saying starch. But trust me, from the charts in the China study, page 230 in the China study gives you a breakdown of why we do not have to worry about the amount of protein. We have been getting way more protein with the animal in our diet, as well as the negatives that come along with it. So we just need to concentrate on eating lots of vegetables, healthy vegetables, a couple of pieces of fruit a day, 2 to 3 servings of fruit a day, and then an adequate amount of starch to give it this the ability, that's not the word I'm trying to use, the longevity of staying in our system. It gives us the staying power in our diet. Otherwise, we would be hungry a lot more frequently. And when you're hungry, feed your body. There's nothing wrong with that concept at all. So just don't go into the starvation until you're too hungry, and then you don't take time to grab what's right for you to eat. So anyway, thank you for all your interaction.
Is there
today.
A call Gansha, Mandisha?
Somebody, yes, there'll be people on the line Monday, I'm sure.
Okay.
So, yes. So have a great holiday weekend. Think about what you're having and sharing with your friends, that it's healthy, at least healthier than what you would have done otherwise had you not known. Thank you for your participation, and please spread the word to other people about what we're doing and also availability of the call. So have a great one. Make it successful. Yes?
This is Onita. I just quick question. Can bok choy be frozen? I don't know if I'll get it all used.
You know what I would do is I'd probably make it into a really simple dish so that it's even faster to pull out, because it will go a little watery. But you freeze spinach, so probably the stalk would be the least preserved, because I would relate that to more like celery.
Okay.
And you get that in dishes too, but you know, and zucchini gets watery. Things that have a high water content don't preserve as well frozen.
I would cook it first, like a soup, cook it in the soup and then freeze.
Okay, in a soup, that would be great. Yes, thank you, Molly.
Thanks.
You're certainly welcome. Bye now.
Bye.